Well, what this is telling us is that as far as we can tell, if the gods of chance or whatever gods come into our worlds and do this kind of flipping back and forth, changing head-head worlds to tail-head or whatever and back and forth like that, we ourselves would not be able to tell the difference because everything altogether is still the same. And that's the important thing. And that's what got Hoyle all upset because he said that would mean that we could every day we wake up in a different universe and we would never know it because whatever was happening in that universe would seem consistent with where we are right now. In other words, we would wake up, look around, be in an entirely different world, not have any idea we're in a different world, and everything would seem perfectly logical. Have you ever had an opportunity to do that? I got to tell you something. It's happened to me, but it happens in what I call lucid dream states. I'll talk about dreams a little later on. But I just want to tell you that this bizarre story may have an element of reality when we take into consideration how it affects our dreams. So even though we can't experience the flippings and the changes and the transformations, they may actually be taking place. And even if they're not taking place, what this is telling us is if we can't tell a difference between whether the God of chance is doing this or not doing it, it's telling us that there's no difference either way. It means just what I said before. We can wake up in one universe or another universe and not know that we flipped from one to the other. Remember I told you about waking up that Fred Hoyle talked about the spirals of the day? Let me add another little story to that. In a tiny village in New Hampshire, Mr. Jones goes to sleep next to Mrs. Jones one quiet Sunday evening. Nothing very strange about that. Mrs. Jones smiles at her husband sleepily and remembers the violets he brought home for her birthday, something he rarely managed to do because the poor dear works so hard at the office. She really thinks he spends so much time, too much time at the office these days, and wonders if he really should do that. His late-night meetings are also a bit of a strain for her, but Friday, the last Friday he did, he remembered something. He remembered that he brought flowers and brought her flowers, and she was quite pleased. Even though she has hay fever, something he never quite seems to remember, even after 14 years of marriage, or is it 13? She can't quite remember. She falls asleep and dreams of knights carrying her from one castle to the next. When she wakes up bright and early the next morning, there lies Mr. Jones. Alongside of the bed, she sees the familiar shine of his heraldry brimming with reflected light from his shield. The familiar sounds of the peasants working in the fields fill her ears, and the smell of the horses from the king's stable reaches her delicate and sensitive nose. She awakens with a start and immediately begins one of her sneezing attacks. Mr. Jones wakes up, and surprised to be arising so early on a Monday morning after chasing bandits out of the castle stronghold last night. His wife smiles at him. "Sorry, but you do know how flowers make me sneeze. They are such lovely violets, but dear, pay a little more attention to me and try not to spend so much time at the round table drinking beer and listening to that old fuddy tell such stories." Mr. Jones, that is Sir Lancelot Jones, Esquire, to be more exact, looks down at Lady Gwen Jones, wondering if this was the same woman he married 13 years ago, or was it 14? The above episode implies that there are really two Joneses. One couple lives in the present, and the other in the past. They are really split off from the same Joneses' egos. Now, I've carried the story a bit far by placing the alter egos in two different time periods, but that is not impossible at all. In fact, that may be what's going on here. I'm speculating. I'm sure that wasn't Hoyle's original concern. He, I'm sure, would have had both Joneses living at the same time period. However, time is a bit of an embarrassment in quantum physics, as we're going to discuss in an upcoming session. And we don't exactly know what to do with it. But I'm going to suggest some things a little later on. Perhaps the future Joneses are all in communication with the past Joneses, and maybe they're in communication with even further past Joneses, maybe all the way back to amoeba's name Jones. Who knows? In fact, this may be how the mind or memory works. All time exists now, and memories and anticipations are messages from parallel worlds that exist in the future and the past, but at the same time, all lying side by side in the present. It's a weird, strange, bizarre world we live in. And in the next section, we're going to look at how time and space really work in this strange, bizarre world we live in, and see what time bends and space warps are all about. So thanks, and tune in again.
This concludes Session 4 of Dr. Quantum Presents, The User's Guide to Your Universe with Fred Allen Wolf. Our program continues with Session 5.